Welcome to this Sharenting Masterclass. My name is Dr. Christy Goodwin, and this is one of the many digital dilemmas that I know parents are experiencing. Is it okay to share photos and or videos of your children or children that you care for on social media platforms or on blogs? You see, sharing images and videos of our kids in a digital format is very different to the yellowed photo albums that we used to have in our own childhood. So my mission with this masterclass isn't to sway you one way or the other. My mission is to provide you with evidence-based, research-based information so you can make educated and informed decisions about whether or not to share it. If you do elect to share images and photos of your children online, my hope is that this masterclass will equip you with practical ideas, essential strategies, and tips to do so in a healthy and safe way. So let's dive into the content. So what are the ethics of sharing images and videos of our kids on social media and on blogs? As I previously mentioned, this really is uncharted territory. Is it okay to share funny anecdotes of our kids' milestones and their accomplishments? Are there hard and fast rules about what is inappropriate or perhaps unsafe to share? Parents really are challenged to navigate this increasingly complex world. Trying to monitor, understand, and limit the types of content that we curate about our kids online and who they share it with is a decision facing most parents. Despite many parents' concerns, we actually find that parents are posting quite extensively about their kids online, often sharing personal content about their child's behavior, their development, their appearance, and even their accomplishments, and sometimes even their failings and embarrassing, awkward moments. While many parents love sharing their kids' joyous moments, some are concerned that their posts may create privacy and cyber safety risks. While it often seems quite innocuous, the choice to share information about your children online can pose many types of risks. And this is something that we'll explore when I outline some of the potential pitfalls of sharenting. Now, some of these risks relate to future embarrassment, perhaps caused by parents posting awkward photos or videos of their kids being toilet trained or in the bath or singing and dancing. But there are some more worrisome concerns, things like children being targeted in cyberbullying incidents through embarrassing posts that surface years down the track. Parents can also be possibly putting their children in danger by providing identity thieves with a whole range of data. Thanks to facial recognition technology that is going to grow exponentially in the coming years, it is going to be very easy for people to garner your child's digital footprint or their digital DNA through the posts that we share. So these are all considerations that we need to give some thought to. So before we go further, make sure you download your PDF summary. This is a neat little document that outlines some of the key information in this masterclass. There is also a separate resource sheet with some links to some online resources that may also help you navigate this world. In particular, there are tools that you can use to report inappropriate photos or videos of your children online, as well as some other further videos and information that you might find helpful. So as I mentioned, this really is a new digital dilemma. It's uncharted territory, and I want to reiterate that this is a highly personal and actually I believe it's a family decision. You and your child's partner or other caregivers, or if you're an educator, you know, your school or your preschool's policy must ascertain what is an appropriate level of sharing. What are your parameters and your rules if you do elect to share? What is deemed to be inappropriate or not a suitable image or video to post? So this really is a personal decision. My mission isn't to prescribe hard and fast rules or a blueprint. It's simply to arm you with research-based information. Now, many people use the analogy that curating my children's lives on social media is akin to putting photos in a printed out photo album that sits in the top of the cupboard. And I actually don't agree with that analogy. That analogy suggests that the online album can be controlled. And we know that one of the risks of sharing information online is that once you post any photo or any image, in fact, anything online, you lose full control of where it may end up. And in our section on some of the potential dangers of sharenting, you'll see many parents are shocked to hear that their children's photos and images taken from a parent's social media site or their own blog have been repurposed, they've been digitally harvested, and they've actually ended up on all sorts of inappropriate platforms. So the analogy that this is just a digital replica of the printed family photo album, I don't think holds true in this sense. You had some control over who you invited into your lounge room and picked up and passed over the physical album to. You don't have that same locus of control in the online world.
I need you to look more excited. Pan, up, down. But you're blocking me. You're blocking me. Ready? Three, two. That's a good one. You don't look great in that one, but the filter makes everybody look great. Caption. Now we wait. Cutie pies. That's us. 65 likes and 22 shares in less than 45 minutes.
Are you?
So as that video demonstrates, one of the key things that we also need to consider as we navigate this sharenting decision is that our kids imitate our digital behaviors. So from a very young age, if we are electing to share images and photos of our children online, chances are that our kids will inherit the same sorts of digital practices. So this can be a really rich opportunity for us to start to explicitly teach our kids some appropriate online etiquette, how to use technology in respectful and responsible ways. So sharenting can be the catalyst for that sort of conversation. We'll talk in more detail about this, but one of the really important ideas that we'll explore in this masterclass is that as parents, we are now curating our children's digital DNA. I often work with students, both primary and secondary school students, and I talk to them not about their digital footprint, but instead about this idea that they are curating their digital DNA. But as parents and caregivers, particularly of younger children, if we are electing to share information about our kids online, we are in fact the ones who are initially creating and curating that digital DNA for them. So an important consideration. So is it okay to share life's joyous moments and document our lives online? Well, this has kind of become the social norm, but are we oversharing important or perhaps private information? This question is really urgent, particularly when we think about parents posting information about their kids, and that's exactly what we'll explore in this masterclass. So we're going to talk about what sharenting involves, why we do it, some of the risks, the benefits, and some sharing tips so that you, if you do elect to sharent, you can do so in a way that won't jeopardize your child's privacy or their safety. So what is sharenting? Basically, it's a parent or a caregiver's use of social media or blogs to share digital content, be that photos and or videos of their children. It can include things such as baby pictures or details of their activities, accomplishments, and even sometimes their failings. And one of the problems is that we often have had passed on information about our kids. This is parental pride is a common societal norm. But in the past, we have done this usually verbally or in a medium in which we can control. We would often, I know my mum used to send the annual Christmas card with the family newsletter, and there were sometimes some very embarrassing photos included on that. But she had control as to where those photos and where that information ended up. There are some other big ethical concerns. The medium, the digital medium, can also be a problem. You see, in person, it's possible to explain to a grown-up child that their birth was in fact a shock or a little bit of a mistake, but it certainly wasn't something that you regretted. However, could you imagine if that same grown-up child read that as a public post written on Facebook, detailing the strong emotions and the rather different proposition that the parents had found themselves in? In fact, in 2009, Sheely Ross used Twitter to report the death of her young son just hours after the event occurred, and this prompted a huge amount of criticism and sympathy online. You see, we know that the written word doesn't always lend itself to the emotional nuances that the spoken word can do. So again, we need to be particularly careful with what we archive and digitally curate for our kids. A personal episode shared online may not come across in the same way had we shared it in an analog or real life scenario. So what do we actually know about sharenting? In the handout, you'll see a whole lot of information and some statistics gained or gleaned from the latest data that we have. But in general terms, we know that mothers post most of the images and videos of their kids online. Fathers are tending to be more restrictive about sharing images and videos of their kids, Particularly conservative when it comes to sharing with broad or professional audiences. They're actually report being concerned about sharing content that could be perceived or considered as sexually aggressive. So dads generally are a little bit more conservative than mums. We know that many kids are posted on social media within the first few days of their lives, and 92% of two-year-olds now have an online presence. So we really are curating their digital DNA from a young age. We know that many parents, in fact, most parents are on Facebook, and that's why if you've got a teenager, they are not on Facebook because you are there. 75% of parents are believed to log on daily. We can see that this is really where parents are going. So parents are using social media, and they're not just using it to engage in what we call the humble brag, where they're just archiving and detailing their children's accomplishments, but they're also using it as a parenting tool. In fact, the research tells us that parents are using social media and are sharing information online to garner information about how to get kids to sleep. 28% of parents said they have gone online to seek advice for sleep issues. They're also using it to gain information about nutrition and eating, discipline, and behavioral problems. And we'll talk about this in some of the pitfalls as we go. So why do we share it? There are a whole host of reasons. I think the biggest one is, as I mentioned before, a societal expectation associated with parenting is that we feel proud about our kids and their accomplishments. We often want to share our kids' milestones with friends and family. And so social media and blogs can be an easy and a simple way to do this. But we need to remember a really critical thing here, and this is an important skill we teach our children, particularly our adolescents who are diving into social media, is that parents, we often forget that other parents are sharing their children's highlight reel. They're sharing the A-roll footage. Whilst some mums, some mum bloggers in particular, and some parents do choose to share some of the less than glamorous, crappy moments of parenting, In general terms, most parents share the A-roll footage, the good parts. And so this can cause what we call the compare and despair phenomenon, where parents actually feel like they're failing because their kids aren't accomplishing the same thing that other people's children are doing according to their parents' social media posts. So another reason we do this, and it taps into that first one, is that as human beings, one of our basic psychological drivers is our need for connection. We're hardwired for relationships. So if we share and post images on social media, it really caters for this psychological need. We also know as parents, often we crave a bit of external validation. Unlike our job where we get KPIs and we get performance reviews, you don't tend to get that when you're a parent. We know that parenting is the long game. And so we often don't get that praise and recognition. Sometimes we do. And, we know parenting is often innately rewarding, that smile or the toothless grin or the whispers of I love you can be rewarding. But if we look at the broader big picture of parenting, so much of parenting involves thankless and monotonous tasks, if we're really honest. So if we share some of our parenting milestones, our challenges, and our rewards online, we're likely to receive praise and commendation from other parents in a way that our kids, if we're really honest, don't often do. Some parents are using this to prove that they're a good parent. Now, we know many adolescents are suffering from FOMO, fear of missing out, but did you know some parents are suffering from FOM, fear of making memories? Many of us believe now that a moment isn't a real moment until we've archived it to our camera roll. Are we suffering from this? Is it a real memory if we haven't digitally archived the event and then shared it on social media? As I mentioned before, some of the other reasons that we use engage in sharenting is that we use it as an avenue for seeking or offering advice. In fact, a 2015 study by the Pew Research Center found that parents are in fact using social media to both give and receive a high level of support via their social media networks. We also know there's a concept, we refer to it as the humble brag. Is sharenting a form of digital narcissism? Are we ostensibly or modestly or self-deprecatingly sharing statements about our kids' accomplishments and our role as a parent in order to gain that feedback? So what are the risks? And I'm going to be very clear, some of these risks may come as a little bit of a surprise to you. Parents of young children have numerous social media channels. We know most parents now are on Facebook and very likely to also be on Instagram. Some younger parents are also on Snapchat and using blogs as a way to share and connect with groups of friends or relatives, and also using it as a way to bring together opinions and experiences around a specific topic. However, I want to say very clearly that the internet is a bit like Vegas. What happens on the internet stays on the internet, even if you have deleted a post or trashed a photo. The internet never forgets. And so we need to be so mindful about what we choose to post our kids online. Unlike the yellowing physical photo album where we could remove the photo, the embarrassing bath photo, and cut it up or remove it, get rid of the negatives when we had Kodak films, when we share something online, it is really difficult to digitally delete that. We are obviously concerned about privacy. The risks of kids being images and videos being digitally doctored, catalogued on pedophiles' websites, or used in other inappropriate ways is of real concern. As I mentioned before, we lose full control of where our kids' images and videos may end up when we share them. And I have seen multiple incidents where parents' social media accounts have had photos extracted from them, they have been digitally doctored, or they have been catalogued and they have been found on pedophiles' websites. Now, there's not a lot that we can do to prevent that. Is that a reason enough for us not to share? That is obviously something that you need to weigh up as a parent or a caregiver. Arik Sigmund agrees that we should be concerned. And one of the concerns that he raises is he says that part of the way a child forms their identity involves having private information about themselves that remains private. That, he says, is being eroded by social media. I think the idea of not differentiating between public and private is a very dangerous one. And again, this is not to suggest that you should never post images of your kids online, but we need to be really mindful. Are there still moments of privacy and intimacy that we are protecting and preserving? As I mentioned, you are curating your child's digital DNA. That cute beach photo, the toddler babble may seem cute to you now, but chances are your child or teenager won't feel that way when their teenage peers or a prospective employer is looking at that content. As adults, we have a responsibility, and I believe a moral obligation, to think very carefully about our kids' digital DNA. As I mentioned just previously, your children's photos and videos can be, in fact, repurposed by social media platforms, and it sadly isn't illegal. In the very detailed terms and conditions that are stipulated on social media sites, it suggests that the social media platform has the right to copy and use your photos and videos without requesting your consent. So please make sure you review these terms carefully before deciding what or if anything is appropriate to post on your kids. There are also obvious safety risks. There are really valid concerns that social media and blog postings could identify a child's physical address, their school or their childcare centre, and in particular legal circumstances such as child custody disputes or domestic violence cases. The disclosure of identifying information could pose a significant risk or compromise the validity of a case. Now, this is a particular concern and one that schools and preschools are constantly talking to me about and sporting groups, is it's often parents sharing other children's photos and videos on social media platforms without parental or caregiver consent. Now, it is, you know, not appropriate for schools to identify and say, you know, this child here standing in the front row of the school assembly can't have their photo or their video posted on social media, but everybody else is okay. And so this is one of the key things we need to be not only cognizant about what we choose to post of our kids, but of friends or family members' children as well. So other concerns about social media use pertain to fears that postings could be used to disclose sensitive bits of information. The school logo on the t-shirt, a street sign, information that, and we'll talk later on about the GPS or geolocation in the metadata of the photo. We also know that sharing and sharenting can create something that we call boundary turbulence. It's a great term, but it's this idea that not all families and friends have the same concerns or values when it comes to sharing images and videos of kids online. Tensions can arise when content is shared that isn't congruent with the child or teenager's needs and or the other family and their needs and or values. And I have had countless families contact me asking me how they broach the really sensitive topic of their child's images or photos being published on sporting groups or dance group websites, or when their friends go holidaying and decide to curate the family holiday with other families on their social media platforms. And we'll talk about how to tackle this one. We also know some of the risks include cyberbullying risks. Now, this is both in terms of the parent and the child. We all know, I think we all agree, that parenting is a very personal topic. Everyone usually has fairly entrenched philosophical approaches about the way in which they want to parent. So it's a very contentious topic. And just think about the whole vaccination debate, the breastfeeding topic, just to name a few about how polarizing parenting can be. So if you elect to share your parenting decisions and approaches online, it can leave you open to sometimes very unkind public scrutiny. There have been recent incidents where Pink and Gwyneth Paltrow have shared and have sharented and have faced, you know, intense media and social media criticism from doing so. We need to remember that what is shared on social media and on blogs is only a brief snapshot in time. It's the tip of the iceberg, but many people see it and misconstrue it as the full picture. So they can sometimes make premature judgments based on one single post. So if you're going to share images and videos of your kids online, do so knowing full well that you may be susceptible to other parents and sometimes even non-parents' judgment. The second type of risk is to your child's risk, cyber safety risk. Now, it may not be immediate, but further on down the track, when your children's teenage peers find embarrassing photos or video footage, that could compromise their cyber safety. It could result in them being the subject of cyberbullying. We also know that there are sharenting can cause conflict within families. There are anecdotal reports of children and teenagers reporting images and photos, and videos that their parents have posted of them online. There is a case in Europe at the moment where a teenager is suing their parents for defamation of character because of the online post that they shared of their childhood on Facebook. I've had kids telling me firsthand of some of the embarrassing things that their parents have posted of them online, resulting in some awkward offline incidents with their peers. And I shared this story with you with permission. I had a parent who told me it had been a wet long weekend and she had three boys at home and they found the family photocopier. So they did what often happens on many Christmas parties and they decided to take photocopies of their anatomy. And this mum took one photo of one of the printouts of her son's bottom. It was just a photograph of the bottom, not of the kids straddling the photocopier or anything like that, but a photo of the printout of their nude bottom that they had taken. And she shared it on Facebook saying, "Look what three boys get up to on a wet long weekend." She left it at that. The boys went to school on the Tuesday. It was a long weekend. And the mum came to pick them up at the gate and the three of them were in floods of tears. You see, what had happened was that their peers' parents had shown them this social media post and these boys were ridiculed, they were tormented, they were teased, they were called all sorts of horrible names from their mother's rather, she thought, innocent social media posting. So be really mindful, it can be a source of conflict. We also know that, as I mentioned before, messages can be misconstrued online. One of the real chief downsides of online communication is that the emotional nuances and the nonverbal nuances that we use in spoken conversations just aren't available online. We can't use facial expressions and body language to complement what we're saying. So many parents might document their child's conception, as I said, as a surprise. They might talk about their child's behavior online, and that may not be intended to be hurtful or cruel or lamentful, but when children read that or when somebody else reads it, it can be misinterpreted. We also know that crowdsourcing advice from other parents can be a wonderful tool, and then we'll talk about that in terms of benefits, but it can also mean that parents are being given inaccurate advice. I'm part of some local Facebook mothers groups, and they can be great. I have used those personally myself, but not for medical advice. And this is one of the concerns. I say this as somebody, as a researcher, and somebody who works extensively with health professionals. Having access to just-in-time advice and tips from parents, you know, in the middle of the night or at 3 o'clock in the morning can be a game changer. However, if we are accessing inaccurate, unsafe, or unhelpful advice, this can be quite concerning. The final and often surprising side, there's a really dark worry connected to sharenting, and that is something that we're calling digital kidnapping. And this is when an online stranger takes children's photos and videos from their real parents' social media posts and blogs and shares them as the stranger's own children. There was a case recently of digital kidnapping that occurred in Dallas, where a mother found a New York man had been posting photos on Facebook of her daughter, claiming that she was in fact his daughter. She tried to have the photos removed from Facebook, and she reported them, but she was told she couldn't do this because he had blocked her, and she reported the profile to Facebook, and their response allegedly was that the profile met their community standards. So this is something we need to be also mindful of. So what are the benefits? As I've said, it's not all doom and gloom. Sharenting can facilitate some important roles in our lives. So I think the biggest one, the biggest benefit is that sharenting allows us to easily and quickly distribute personal media and family milestones. Many families love being able to quickly and easily disseminate images and videos of their kids to friends and family using social media or blogs. And posting a photo on social media is a much quicker way than individually sending text messages or uploading them to another platform. So it can be a really easy way for us to get the connection in a really meaningful way. It's one thing to ring grandma at the end of your athletics carnival and tell her how you went, but it's another thing to be able to post a video on Facebook and show grandma just how fast you ran that 100-meter race. So it's the ease of access and sharing. As I mentioned before, we are hardwired for connection. And there was a poll done by a national health organization in the US, and the parents overwhelmingly cited that one of their chief benefits of using social media, particularly when it came to their kids, was seeking and sharing parenting advice. And most of them said that this helped them to feel like they weren't alone with parenting concerns. We really, as a society, have lost that sense of community that we once had. And so sharing photos and anecdotes helps distant relatives and friends stay in touch, but it also helps the parent who's awake in the middle of the night, who can't counteract those feelings of isolation, have a sense of connection. Asking for other parents' recommendations and tips can facilitate the choice or the decision of a new childcare provider. Hearing strategies other parents have used to deal with, you know, problematic toddler behavior can be helpful. So it provides an opportunity, sharenting, for us to have the connection and interaction that we are hardwired for. It really can be the digital village that parents and community that parents are craving. C.S. Mott Children's Hospital conducted a study, and they said that parents reported that the biggest benefit of sharenting was that they felt like they weren't alone and they had just-in-time advice from other parents about similar digital parenting, similar issues, parenting issues that they were facing. So this taps into the next benefit, and this is particularly the case for children with physical or psychological needs. Many parents with children facing serious medical conditions or unique or rare medical conditions, children with additional learning needs or physical needs, can find sharenting or social media platforms as an incredible source of support. And no longer is that source of support constrained by physical proximity and boundaries and distance. They can connect with other families in real time, experiencing some of the challenges, and have a level of support and connection that just simply wouldn't be provided without the technology. So as you can see, there are some positive benefits. So how do we share it if we elect to do it? How can we do it in a way that is respectful to the child, that is responsible in terms of their safety, and that will role model good social etiquette and responsible behavior? One of the issues is that children, unlike parents' adult friends, they don't have the ability to consent or object to their information being posted on social media, particularly in the early years of life. So if parents, even parents who want to control their kids' online presence, really find it challenging, in fact, they face daunting challenges, because we've often got well-intentioned family and friends who are independently sharing photos and videos of our kids. So this is a tricky landscape. So my number one tip is, regardless of the approach that you take, communicate your boundaries to the other stakeholders in your children's lives. To your family members, extended family members, to friends, to babysitters, to the nanny, to your school or childcare provider. And so one of my key messages, and you'll see this in the handouts, is that you need to establish a family policy. Determine what your parental disclosure parameters are. What is appropriate for you to share about your kids, and be really explicit, particularly with other caregivers, grandparents, for example. Is it okay to share photos but not tag photos? Again, this is going to become even more critical, as I mentioned at the outset, with facial recognition technologies. We really need to manage digital disclosure by other family members. And this means having upfront conversations before the image is posted. I know it can sometimes be awkward to say this in advance, but I can tell you it's a lot less awkward. And I've had this personal experience myself. We have to say to somebody, could you actually remove that photo of my children? It's unflattering. I don't find it appropriate. I find from my experience, that's a much more awkward conversation to have. My next tip is to pause before you post. I understand firsthand that kids can be frustrating and embarrassing, and recording and sharing their tantrum is a huge invasion of their privacy. Now, I'm not suggesting that posting one funny picture of your kid on Facebook will psychologically damage them, but what is the cumulative effect when they look back at their childhood and realize that it was curated and shared and commented on by others? Glennon Doyle, in her book Love Warrior, suggests that we should share from your scars and not your open wounds. Often when we post from our wounds, when we're in that hurt, angry, frustrated place, we often regret it. So we need to ask ourselves, does this moment really need to be catalogued? What are the sacred, personal, private moments that you want to savour? Does the online world really need to know about every single one of your child's experiences? The next strategy, and this is teaching kids important digital literacy skills, do you have permission to post? Now, I'm not suggesting that you ask your two-month-old baby, is it okay if I share this photo of you? Obviously, you need to make those decisions. But I believe from about 2 years of age, you can start to have conversations with your kids. If they're old enough to understand, always ask them to post an image or a video before you post it. Involve your child in the taking and the sharing of images. This actually helps them to learn about etiquette and respectful behavior. Clearly articulate why you want to take the photo and why, where, and with whom you'd like to share it. This teaches kids really important skills. Also, make sure you have permission to post other children's photos and videos. As I mentioned before, there can sometimes be legal ramifications, particularly in custody battles or domestic violence cases, where you are not supposed to have children's photos shared online. So always ask permission before you do so, and respect other parents' wishes. They may not be the same as yours, but it's important to make sure you honor their requests. Respect their privacy. If your child or teen asks you to remove a social media post or a blog post, do so immediately, without question, and apologize. Now, ask them to clarify why they didn't want it shared so that you can ensure you don't repeat the mistake. But really critical, especially if you want to preserve your relationship, the research calls this rupture and repair. And basically, it's the science behind why it's okay to muck up and mess up as a parent. It's in the repairing that we get to solve the problem. And it's in the repairing that our kids actually grow and learn from the experience. So ask them why they didn't want it shared, and critically assure them that you won't post anything like that in the future. You can really erode a relationship if you share inappropriate things. I'm going to say this, and I'm saying this from a loving place and something I am personally aware of and that I haven't always been great at, if I'm really honest. Are we missing the moment? Are we so busy curating our world and our life experiences, particularly with our kids, that we pull out the camera and we actually miss experiencing the moment? I've had a mum tell me she was really proudly invited to her daughter's first award assembly. She arrived in time for her child to walk up onto the stage. She pulled her camera out, had pressed record, she thought, was busy watching the recording through her camera and not actually watching her daughter receive her award. Her daughter came down, and at the end, her mum went up to her and said, I'll show you the video. I've got it on video. We'll send it to grandma. She pulled out her phone and realized she hadn't pressed record. Now, this was a double whammy because not only hadn't she digitally archived it, but she'd also missed experiencing it firsthand. Now, I admit I have been guilty of doing this. When my second son started taking his first steps, he'd been doing it most of the morning, and I thought I better digitally archive this and send it to my husband. So I pulled out my camera, started recording, saying, look, here's Billy taking his first steps. And of course, my firstborn child was in the background and piped up saying, he's been walking all morning. They're not his first steps. So I'm not perfect at this, but we need to be very mindful that we're not missing the moment by our preoccupation with archiving it digitally. Check your privacy settings and check them regularly. Many parents employ privacy settings on social media to control who sees their personal information and their photos, but they're often not well understood by all users. To further complicate matters, privacy policies of social media platforms change and can be reclassified at particular times. So you may be sharing something privately today, and that's not necessarily guaranteed to be a private setting in the future. So ongoing vigilance is really critical. What I do, a quick tip here, is set a reminder on my phone once a month just to go in and check the social media privacy settings to make sure that you've got the most up-to-date information. We also know, as I've mentioned before, we are curating our kids' digital DNA. So if we do decide to share it, have these incidental ongoing conversations from a young age. Encourage your kids to differentiate between posting personal and private information. And in the resource sheet, there's a suggested video that goes into a lot more detail, and that is actually a video for kids, so they can make that distinction between personal and private information. But have ongoing conversations about your child's digital reputation. This isn't a one-off conversation. And finally, I'm going to suggest we need to upskill. As parents, we need to know who to contact and the steps to follow if you want to remove any images or photos of your children from social media. Now, in the PDF summary sheet, I go through step by step about what to do. First and foremost, you need to ask for the content to be removed. If you know the person or the organization, maybe it's a school or a preschool, asking them directly to remove the content is your first step. If you don't know the person, or if that is a unsuccessful attempt, then you need to report the image to the social media site. So going directly to Facebook or Instagram. Then if nothing happens, usually the social media platforms are quite good at responding and removing content that is reported. Your next step, if you're in Australia, is to go to the eSafety Commission. They have a wonderful tool that enables parents to quickly report offensive or inappropriate material on social media platforms. And again, there is a link in the handouts, in the resource sheet to access that. Be really mindful of what you disclose digitally. Be mindful of what we call your metadata and your geolocation data. Now, most digital photos have a time, a date, and GPS coordinates of where the photo was taken attached to the back, to what we call the metadata of the photo. Now, most social media platforms now automatically hide or remove this data, but be mindful this isn't always the case. And there are sometimes reports that this metadata can be stripped from the back end of photos from some tech savvy people. So make sure check your location settings on your device and know which apps are using the geolocation data and turn them off or restrict their functionality if you don't want this information being shared. And finally, consider some sharing alternatives. If you do want to share information of your kids, but you're not comfortable with using social media or a blog, are there other avenues for sharing it? For example, on the screen here, this is one we used when our kids were little called Tiny Beans. And basically it allows you to create an online photo journal. You can easily and privately upload digital photos and videos using this app. Some other alternatives is using email, creating an online secure password protected online portal, or even using things like good old fashioned text message or WhatsApp to share information with loved ones. So there you have it. I promised I wasn't going to be prescriptive. Hopefully now you are armed with some information and some insights about the benefits and the risks of sharenting. Please, I hope this information has been helpful. Whatever you decide to do, I think key things, be mindful of your children's privacy, be mindful of pausing before you post, and be mindful of having permission. I think if we get those things right, if we elect to share it, we can do so in a way that isn't going to compromise our kids' safety and also the relationship they have with us. Until next time, bye for now.